Over the past 10 years, Chris Smith has carved out a unique position in independent films, whether it's with features like American Job or documentaries like American Movie. He has been uncompromising in his approach and style and uncommonly compassionate about his largely outsider characters. He was honored recently with a retrospective at the Museum of Modern Art, and interestingly, his latest film has nothing American about it. It's called The Pool. It opened at Film Forum yesterday for a two-week run. I'm glad that it has given me the opportunity to welcome Chris Smith to the show. Welcome back.
All right, thank you.
Some critics have hailed the Pool as your return to fiction filmmaking, but I've heard you say that you prefer not to be thought of as a documentary filmmaker. So where did you start? Did you start with feature films
or
documentaries?
Yeah, no, I started with a narrative film called American Job that went to Sundance in 1996. And that was sort of, I thought, the beginning of just that tract of films. And we were working on a script for the next film, and at the same time, I thought I'd start this short little documentary project on a filmmaker in Wisconsin who was trying to make a horror film with his family and friends. And as I was writing the script and making and filming the short film just started to turn into something bigger, and it just seemed a lot more interesting than the sort of empty characters that I was writing about in the script. So I just sort of changed my focus, and 4 years later, we had finished American Movie.
Both of them with the word American in the title. Wasn't this film originally intended to be set in the American Midwest, so this could have been called American Pool?
The Pool, yeah. The Pool is actually based on a short story that was set in Iowa. And the main thing I liked from the story was this one central theme, which we sort of borrowed and then sort of worked a script around it. And I had been in India about 4 years earlier, and I just sort of, it made an impact on me just sort of as an experience that I had, and we had stayed at this hotel and sort of spent some time with these room boys. And so when I read the short story, it seemed like it was the narrative element that we needed to sort of impose on this world that we had spent time in India.
Well, this is a story about an illiterate teenager struggling to find a place in a society that can be harsh and unforgiving. Was the original story about an illiterate kid?
No. The original story was about a graduate student living in Iowa City who sort of he saw a pool when he was out on a run and basically started following the family around trying to find a way to ingratiate himself and sort of, become a part of their lives so that he could become closer and try to swim in the pool. But the theme that I liked about it was just that it was a very simple story in the sense that the guy had a very clear focus and which was to try to swim in this pool. But as the story develops, you realize that the relationships become more important than his original goal. And I like that theme of just how that applies.
And you've kept that in this film as well.
Yeah.
Now, as we said, it's set in the Indian province of Goa. But wasn't Goa Portuguese territory until long after India gained independence?
Yeah, and there's still that influence just in the architecture and in the music. And so we tried to pull a few of those elements in, and we talk about it in the film.
And where is it located?
It's south of Bombay. It's about an hour's flight south of Bombay.
But it's almost like Miami Beach or something for the Indians, isn't it? And because of
and
the Portuguese.
And for tourists, yeah. I mean, people from the UK and basically all over are now coming there. And the area that we filmed in was a small town that was very much not a tourist area. But if you go a half hour in a taxi, there's all these beaches and five-star resorts lining.
Well, it was one thing for Woody Allen to move the setting of Matchpoint from the Hamptons to upper-class England, another to move this story to Goa. Did it involve as enormous a risk as it might seem to have?
It did. I think every day we were sort of feeling like we just weren't sure if we were going to be able to make it through. There were a lot of challenges that we faced just in being in India. We were working with kids that didn't know English, so there's that problem.
Do you speak any Hindi?
No. I mean, I learned how to say stop, faster, forward, back, the very basic sort of directing words that you would need. But, we really had to rely on our translators. The kids were speaking in Hindi, but that wasn't their first language, so they were speaking in a foreign language for themselves, and then they both didn't read. So
they were truly illiterate.
Yeah, they were actually illiterate. So you know, we would be doing these long takes, and they would have to, you know, if you've ever tried to memorize something without looking at it on paper, it's very difficult. So it was a real challenge in that way.
And how do you judge performances without knowing the language? I've always wondered about that when I've read about Hollywood history, where directors would come from France or Germany or Russia, and they would direct a movie with Henry Fonda. I guess you just trust Henry Fonda to do the job, right? And he often did.
I think what it is if you go see a foreign film, you can feel if the performances are working. And I think that there's a very intuitive sense that's independent of language as to whether something is working or feeling right. And I think you have to trust your instincts. So basically, we would shoot until we got a take that felt right. And then I would just have a direct translation done to make sure that, you know, the content was correct.
But I understand that the cast kept changing. You kept on losing cast members.
India's got its own set of rules in the way that it works, and I think we learned to somewhat try to embrace that rather than fight it, because it didn't help. But when we started shooting a few days before we were filming, the second lead went to Bombay to buy karate uniforms and then never came back and never picked up his phone and just sort of disappeared off the face of the planet.
So you just had to throw all of that away.
Well, we just had to start looking for another kid, but we found this great kid who worked at a restaurant and bar while we were trying to figure out what we were going to do, and he and if you see him in the film, you just can't imagine the film existing without him.
I once interviewed Abbas Kiarostami, this great Iranian filmmaker who only works with amateurs, non-professionals anyway, and he told me that his other directors would ask him, how can you work with non-professionals? And then he made a film with professional actors, and he asked them, how could you work with professional actors?
Well, that's interesting. Well, we combined the two. We had mostly an unknown cast. We had three of the main principals had never acted before, but the daughter character had been in one feature, and then the father character was actually a movie star in India. He just had two blockbuster films while we were out there, and is just an incredibly talented person. So I think the mix was actually really interesting.
Nana Patikar.
Yeah.
Didn't he tell you that the Indian film industry has been corrupted? So was one of the reasons he wanted to work here is to do something that he could believe in?
I think I just think he said it reminded him of the things they used to make before they got corrupted, and I think what he meant by that was just sort of looking at, you know, where he started artistically and maybe where he's gone. But he, you know, I think he's proud of all the work that he's done, and he picks projects that he believes in. But I think he really, there was something that spoke to him in the material that we were doing and how sort of different it was from the projects he's doing now.
So could a film like this, as Indian as it is, have been made through the Bollywood system?
I don't think so, just because there's a whole different aesthetic. But I think that there's definitely a growing independent movement in India that's sort of opening itself up to different sort of ideas and different types of movies. So
well,
I
there used to be. Yeah. After all, some of the most famous movies to come out of India were done independently, although in another part of the country, in Calcutta. And I guess that was just a short-lived thing. You need a great director to come along and do that? Or
I guess I wouldn't consider myself an authority,
like Sajjad Ray.
Right, on the subject, but I just felt like when we were there that there was definitely a lot of energy towards that direction.
The kid who plays the lead role, and you used his name, I guess, so that he wouldn't be confused?
I don't know. I like the idea of just sort of mixing those things. We used a lot of the elements of the kids' lives in the story, and so it was sort of an interesting thing to me to sort of work off of that.
Well, he really has an amazingly appealing personality on screen. Did you develop a real rapport with this kid, even though he's illiterate?
Yeah, we did. We became very close with all the actors and the crew that we worked with. We spent 5 months over there, and everyone became like a little family in that sense. And I just found him one of the most dynamic and interesting people I'd seen on film in quite some time. He just had a real depth to his character.
Do you think he was fully aware of what you were saying about his character?
Yeah, I do. I think he really did understand it. I think both of the kids were incredibly smart. They both spoke five languages, and they'd been working since they were, you know, really young. And they're just sort of wise in a different way than kids are here.
The other kid being Jahangir Badshah, who plays a little boy who works in a restaurant, kind of the saddest figure in the film. I hope his real life situation isn't as difficult.
Well, the strange thing is when we met him, he was actually working in that restaurant 6.5 days a week, and he would basically go home to see his parents on Sunday for a couple hours. But since the film, he's actually sort of put himself back in school and is now in school full time.
I'm not going to talk about school as part of the plot here, but it does play a role in this story. Chris Smith is the director, director of photography and co-writer of The Pool, which opened yesterday at the Film Forum for a two-week run. He's also appearing tonight and tomorrow for a Q&A session at the 8 o'clock screenings of his film. You had a script, but how closely did you stick to it, or is there a lot of improvisation here?
I think our main goal was to try to write the script and story out here, but to be open to our experiences and observations when we got there. And ultimately, the main thing that I was trying to do was work a lot of the aspects of the people and the actors' lives that we put in the film. And so some of the stories and things that happened were things that happened to them in real life. So, you know, if somebody was telling a story of their own, it was something that we gave them a lot of freedom with. But by and large, it was very much, you know, scripted out and controlled in that sense from a narrative perspective.
How do you think your experience in documentaries has affected the look of a film like this?
Well, I think it wasn't trying to make it feel or look like a documentary, but I think the one thing that came from that world was just in sort of the writing phase was just getting into really, you know, doing these extensive interviews with the actors and taking some of that material and being able to incorporate it into the script. And the other thing was just in the way things work in India, where things are often changing at the last minute. I think coming from a documentary background, you're you're used to having to adapt very quickly to changing situations.
Well, many documentary filmmakers also serve as their own cinematographers, but you don't see that all that much in feature films. You served as your own cinematographer here. Is that rare? I mean, is that difficult? Does it make things easier or harder when you're trying to direct an actor?
I think it made it more difficult because there was a whole other set of things to be thinking about. But at the same time, I think working with the non-actors, just having myself with a camera in the room made them feel very comfortable, and there was an intimacy there. So I think in that way, you know, there were positives and negatives to the whole thing.
Was it hard to find financing for a film like this?
We actually financed the film ourselves, and I think that was the goal going in, was just to sort of have that freedom to try to make a film that we wanted to make on our own terms.
What was it like viewing your older films at the MoMA retrospective? Is there ever time when you see a scene and say, gee, I wish I could go back and reshoot that?
I try not to go back into that space because I just think it's not productive. But I do think that you can't help but look at things and see how you've grown as a filmmaker and think how you would do things differently now.
What's happened to these two kids, Venkatesh and Jahangir, since the film was made?
So Venkatesh is now he's working at a clothing store in Goa, and then Jahangir took the money that he made from working on the film and quit his job and put himself back in school. So he's been in school since we left, which is about 2 years ago.
Would a film like this ever be shown in India?
Yeah, we played the film at the Goa at a festival in the town where we shot it, and then we showed it in Bombay, and it played really well. So we're just wanted to open the film in the U.S. first, and then we're going to try to work it out and go international after this.
And do you have any idea of what's next for you?
Yeah, I'm working on an animated film.
Oh, you want to do a little bit of everything,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah, we're trying to mix it up a bit.
Well, as I said before, Chris Smith will be appearing both tonight and tomorrow for Q&A sessions at the 8 o'clock screenings of his new film called The Pool, which he has directed, also been the cinematographer for, and the co-writer. And it's at the Film Forum for a two-week run, the Film Forum on West Houston Street. Thank you so much for being with us today.
All right, thank you.